Well, I'm hoping the Lord will get in what I want to try to say tonight. Because what I'm preaching on tonight can do a couple of things. Can either humble our hearts and help us get right with the Lord, or it can turn our hearts away from the Lord. And I suppose if I don't handle it correctly, and I'm going to do my best to do that, that it can turn our heart, can turn your heart away from me. And I certainly wouldn't want that to happen. I may do more teaching than I do preaching in order to hold down the tone just a little bit. That suits Miss Sandy over there quite well. Miss Sandy on this side of the building. She likes teaching. She's one of them that says, where it says that in the last day they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I'm just kidding her. I hope she knows that. All right, 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1 in your Bible. 1 John chapter number 1. Verse number 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Amen. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Amen. Now may the Lord add that portion of Scripture tonight to the blessing of our hearts, and may God bless the preaching of His word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful tonight that we can be in the house of God. And thank You, Lord, that we've got the Bible, God's holy book. It's not just another book written by man, but written by holy men of old as they were moved upon by the Spirit of God. They penned down the words of this book, and You've preserved it for us today in the King James Bible. And I'm thrilled in my heart to know that You've blessed America with the Bible. You've blessed us, Lord, with churches. You've blessed us with preaching and blessed us with the presence of God and with prosperity and with peace. And I'm grateful and thankful, Lord, that You've met with us in wonderful ways here in the church and blessed us with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I pray that You'd meet with us one more time tonight. We need You tonight, Lord. I need Your power, Your holy touch. I need that filling, that unction, that fresh oil. I pray that You'd anoint me, Lord, that I might speak the Word of God with clarity and with boldness. And Lord, the Spirit of God might penetrate the hearts of Your people tonight and help us, I pray, Lord, to confess that which may be sin in our life and help us to establish a wonderful fellowship, communion with the Lord. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. We've come down through our verses in 1 John chapter 1, and we've made our way to verse number 9. I read all of the verses because I felt like we needed to. But in verse 9, Brother John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want to take that text and several of the verses in chapter number 1 and not just to hold to this one text, but I want to use several of them really and preach tonight on the thought of fellowship with Him. Amen. Our having fellowship with the Lord. It's needed in our day. It's needed for our Christian life. If we ever expect to grow spiritually in the Lord, we're going to have to spend time with the Lord. We're going to have to spend time alone with the Lord. We're going to have to spend what some of them call quiet time with the Lord. And we're going to have to spend time in the Bible. And God's a wonderful, holy book. No man has ever prayed without the Bible. No man has ever communicated with God without the Bible. No man has ever fellowshiped with the Lord without the Bible. It takes up the Word of God. Even if you go over in the Old Testament, before the Word of God was written, God spoke to men, therefore establishing the ability for them to communicate or fellowship or to commune with Him. Now, I want to say a few things by way of introduction and just a few things. I want to say this and just read it to you. It cannot be too frequently insisted upon that the Bible is not a collection of separate and unrelated texts, but rather a living body of truth, one member which is connected with and dependent upon another. The Bible is not just a collection of independent words or chapters or books in the Bible, but it's written as a body of truth. And one truth being connected to another truth. One part of the body being connected to another part of the body. Now, this may be kind of a crude illustration, but I'll use it anyway. I've got my fingers, and thank the Lord I have. I can eat with those fingers. But those fingers are attached to an arm. And that enables me to use the fingers and that arm, and I thank God for that. But if all I had was that, I'd still be incomplete. But God has given me a body, and these fingers are attached to the arm, and the arm to the shoulder, and the shoulder to the trunk of the body. And God has given me a body, a full body. And thus it is, these work by themselves, but they all work together. Yes. And that is exactly what the Word of God is. It is a body of truth. It does have separate portions of Scripture, but they all work together as one particular body of truth. Now, the principal subject in the book of 1 John, chapter number 1, is fellowship with Christ. And if you'll recall, I said that fellowship is made possible only by divine incarnation. That is, that God had to become man in order to fellowship with man. His ways are not our ways, and His ways are high above our ways and our thoughts. And God had to become man in order to fellowship with man. And by the way, that has been God's plan through the ages, is to be able to fellowship with His creatures. God desires to fellowship with you and I much more than we really desire to fellowship with Him. And by the way, God initiated that first step in fellowshipping with us. Just like He did when He came to the garden when Adam had sinned against God and Eve and had separated themselves from that daily communion that God had with them. And He come to them in the cool of the day and called Adam's name and said, "Where art thou?" And Adam said, "I'm hiding from you, Lord." "Well, why are you hiding, Adam?" He said, "Because have you eaten that fruit that I said that you ought not to eat?" And he said, "Well, it's that woman that you gave me. And she gave me the fruit and I ate thereof." And in doing so, they separated themselves from God in fellowship. And God had a plan. Thank God He had a plan. And that plan was before He ever put man on the earth. Now, the Lord Jesus and the incarnation is not an afterthought. It was a forethought of God that God had in His mind from the creation of the world, even before the foundations of the world, that He would wrap Himself in a robe of flesh and become a man and come to this earth that He might fellowship with man. Now, get a hold of this. The only way that He can fellowship with us is the fact that He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He became a man that He might know how it feels to be a man. He knows how to hurt. He knows how to have a broken heart. He knows how to weep over those that He loves. He knows how to have trouble and to have tribulation. And He knows how to be tempted and how to overcome temptation. And he had to become that man in order to be touched with the feeling of our infirmities that we might fellowship with Him. Amen. You know, we go to the Lord with a broken heart. And if He did not understand our broken heart, it'd be difficult for Him to do anything for us. But I'm glad, thank God, He understands when our heart is broken. He understands when we're grieved or when we're bereaved. We can lose a loved one and have a sad, broken heart. And Jesus can enter into that compassion, have compassion upon us, and enter into communion with us, and bless us, and help us through those difficult days and times of our life like that. And so, He had to have the divine incarnation. And in order to do that, now, that divine incarnation and fellowship produced a fullness of joy in man. I'm not preaching on it. Don't get shook up. But where is our joy tonight? Yeah. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Yeah. Now tell me where, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Yeah. Tell me where our joy really is tonight in the Lord. I'm here to tell you that He became flesh and dwelt among us, ladies and gentlemen, that we might behold His glory. Amen. Come on in the house. And in doing so, have fellowship with Him, and that fellowship should create within you and I a fullness of joy in our heart. I'm going to tell you why there's no joy in Island Ford Baptist Church. There is no communion with the Lord in Island Ford Baptist Church. We're having real trouble getting into our Bible and spending time with God in our Bible and reading this book, amen, and praying to the God of this book and letting Him touch us in our innermost man and bless us and help us and create a joy within us. Hey, there is no greater joy, ladies and gentlemen, than to have Christ as a companion. Hey, amen and amen. I will say that's exactly what fellowship is to have a companion, and our companion is the Lord Jesus Christ. No greater joy than to walk with Him. Those two men on the road to Emmaus, they said, did our hearts burn within us while He spoke with us along the way? I wonder how much fellowship we're having. Now, only those who have common interest can fellowship one with another. Only those that have common interest. I'm just being honest with you. I don't have a bit of interest in fishing. Old Brother Bill Williams come by and he can sit and talk about catching the big one. It don't interest me one bit. I could give a flip less about the big bass. But now him and Brother Steve went out on that pond and they could have fellowship. You know why? They've got a common interest. It's in fishing. Now, if you want to get it, my interest start talking about that boy with them horns sticking out on his head. Now, we can talk about that. Amen. And these young boys in here, they can have communion because they can talk about them hot rods they're going to have one of these days. That's every young boy's dream, is to have a hot rod. And most of the time, they think they are a hot rod. And amen. The more time I'm going to tell you, hot rods get them in trouble. Amen. Amen. Hot rods will get you in trouble. Yeah. I know a lot of young boys that wanted a hot rod, and they got a hot
rod, and mom and daddy wound up burying them in a hole in the ground because they were not mature enough to handle the hot rod that they got. Not from God, but from mom and daddy. Come on in the house now. Now, common interest. You've got to have common interest in order to fellowship with somebody. Now, that's why we must walk in the light as He is in the light. We become His companions, His partners. We become laborers together with God. Amen. That's right. And to do so, we've got to walk in the light as He is in the light, that we might have fellowship one with another. And John said, hey, and truly our fellowship is with God the Father and Jesus Christ whom He sent. John said, it is my desire that you have that fellowship with us. I want you to have that same fellowship. May I say to you tonight, if you're truly saved by the grace of God and been to Calvary and been born again, you will have a desire in your heart for your brothers and your sisters in Christ to have fellowship and communion with God just like you do.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Now, stay right with me. I want to preach, first of all, on some hallmarks of fellowship. What are some real marks of fellowship? How can you tell when people are really fellowshipping with the Lord? He said, those things that identify us as companions with Christ. Just like Peter and John in Acts 4:13. The Bible said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They marveled. They were unlearned and ignorant men. But I'm going to tell you what the rest of that says. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to brag about being with Jesus if you've been with Him. Just get around somebody, and what comes out of your mouth will let everybody around you know that you spent time with Christ. I'm going to tell you, what comes out of us is what's in us, and if what's in us is Jesus, Jesus will come out of us, and if what's in us is something else, that's exactly what will come out of us. Amen. Most folks are full of something besides Him. That's why we ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Filled up with the Holy Ghost of God. And to be filled up with the Holy Ghost of God is to be filled up with the Word of God.
Amen.
Somebody said, I can't read very good. Praise God, read what you can. Trust God to bless to your heart what you can read. And God will do that. I've heard old Herbert Williamson tell, I don't know how many times, about when he went to Bible college, he couldn't even read. And his wife had to teach him to read. And I'm going to tell you, that class, and I don't take it just his word, that class that he went through in Bible college was one of the shoutingest classes Tabernacle ever had. And I'll guarantee you, H.W. was right in the middle of it. Amen. Having himself a time. You know why? Because he wasn't able to read that word much, and he may have an anonymous phone call every now and then. Come on. And he may call the pornographer instead of the photographer every now and then. But I guarantee you one thing, that what he did know out of that book, God blessed it to his heart. You don't have to know everything to find joy in communion with the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God, he can just say the name Jesus sometime, and the Holy Ghost can stir up your heart and point your soul upward, hallelujah to God, into the realm of the glory world, in the presence of Christ, where you can have a joyful time in the Lord. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. That's right. They took notice, took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Now they didn't hang a 4-foot cross around their neck. They didn't come pulling up in their chariot with a cross dangling around the sun visor or around the rear view mirror.
Right.
Let everybody know, I've seen cars, folks hang them big crosses around their rear view mirrors and one thing another. Images of Jesus, little old statues and one thing another, trying to tell, hey, I look here. I saw a fellow the other day. God help us. God help us. God help us. I saw a fellow the other day come walking in up at the Cracker Barrel and had on a t-shirt. Said so-and-so Baptist church somewhere, something or other here in town. I forget which one it was. And had on a pair of shorts. I said, God help. Folks, talking about loving God and communicating, fellowshipping with the Lord, and don't even know how to put on the right kind of clothes.
Amen.
Amen. I like to take that whip I got in there to some of them's hind end. Bless God, that straightened them out. Amen. Running around half naked. These women running around with their breasts hanging out and her thighs are shining, half naked. I'm telling you, I'm just about sick of it. You can't even go out anymore.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't like that word. What's in the Bible? Take it up with God. Both words I use are in the Bible. Amen. If it's in the Bible, it's all right. Now, hallmarks of fellowship. May I say, number one of the marks of fellowship is walking in the light. Don't run off and leave me now. He said there in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now God showed me something here just yesterday, and I want you to get a hold of this. Turn in your Bible with me. Ruffle them leaves. Right, God, turn in your Bible. John chapter number 10. John chapter 11, rather. John chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Now, while we're going to read them, I want to show you something. He said in John chapter 11, and verses 9 and 10, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth, notice these words, he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light, get this, in him. I've never seen it before, but friend, God uses a comparison there. He said if a man walks in the night, he's going to stumble. Unless he walks in the light of this world. But if a man walk in the light, he stumbleth not. Why? Because there is no light in him. God, he uses a comparison there. He compares the light of this world to the light of a child of God that's walking in the light. Saved by the grace of God. He said, if you walk in the darkness, said, you're not walking in the light of this world, you're going to stumble. You ever been out in the woods at night without any kind of a light? Leaves slapping, limbs slapping me upside the head, tripping over limbs, one thing or another, tripping the phone around. But in the daytime, you don't have much of a problem with that, do you?
Right.
You got the light of this world. But he said there on the last, hey, that if a man's got light in him, he stumbleth not. He's not talking about the light of this world in the last part of that verse. He's talking about the light of life. The glorious light of the Son of God, who is the light of this world, came into this world as a light of this world to light every man's soul that comes into the world. Thanks be unto God. And he said, if you've got my light in you, you will stumble not. Hallelujah to God. Woo! No occasion of stumbling in you. Now that's one of the marks of a child of God. You know, watch Baptist people today. They blunder, they stumble, they wobble, they come on now. I mean, they trip and stumble and fumble around. Can't seem to get a hold of nothing in their Christian life. Can't ever seem to get over the problems they're having, the troubles they're having, the trials they're having. Can't overcome anything. I'm telling you what the problem is. They're not walking in the light as He is in the light. There's no fellowship there, no communion there. If you get in that light, amen, and that light is in you, there's no occasion of stumbling.
in you. Now listen carefully. What I'm getting ready to tell you. This is simple as falling off a log backwards. Walking in the light lights the way. isn't that deep? Walking in the light lights the way.
Amen.
What's that song that we sing in here? Love lights the way for me. Is that what the words of it say? Yeah. Love lights the way for me. I'm telling you, walking in the light, ladies and gentlemen. Come on now. Walking in the light. Amen. It lights the way. Thanks be unto God. Amen. That we've got light in the way. I'm not walking in darkness. I'm walking in the light of the Word of God. Thank God it's been a light under my feet and a light under my path. And it'll light your way in this world that you're walking in. Don't have to stumble and waller around like a lost man. God's given us the light of that Word. And that's a mark of fellowshipping with Him. If He gives you light, you walk in that light. Brother, and I'll tell you, if you refuse to walk in that light, you've gone as far with God as you're going. No further. Come on now. Thank God. Walking in the light lights the way. Secondly, walking in the light leads us safely. Thanks be unto God. The light provides a means that we might avoid the snares and the pits and the problems and the temptations that the devil has set before us. I'll put it this way. A man ought to have enough common sense about him to know that he's got no business fooling around with the opposite sex. Come on in the house. Woman's got no business fooling around with the opposite sex. Don't get too coochie-coochie and cuddly-cuddly to them. But yet men are overtaken and so are women in that sin every day.
Amen.
And why is it? I'm going to tell you why it is. Because they're not walking in the light as He is in the light.
Amen.
Praise God, that light leads us safely. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of rocky mountains in this life we're living in. There's a lot of bluffs and drops, sudden stops. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. You ever been walking along at night and step off a little ledge or something, didn't know it was there, just about jar your eye teeth sideways? If you'd have had a light, if you'd have had a flashlight, you could have avoided that. That's a good illustration. If you're walking in that light as God's walking in that light, you can avoid those sudden steps like that.
Amen.
You ever go into a place and they got a little sign up on the wall that says, "Watch your step." You better watch your step. I seen poor old Mr. Pleasant several years ago step off of that and in there, and I thought he broke his leg. He fell right out in the middle of the floor. I saw Herschel Wood come walking in there two or three times. He's got wobbly legs. Brother Wood come in there two or three times, and I swear, I thought he was going to break his neck stepping down off the head. I mean, he'd just wobble and flounce around. I thought, Lord, have mercy. Is a man going to kill himself or what? And I sat there, and I remember saying, Brother Herschel, watch your step. Now, I'm telling you, if you don't watch your step, you'll get hurt someday.
Yeah.
If you don't watch your step, you'll wind up in trouble someday.
Yeah.
If you don't watch your step, you'll wind up in the pit someday.
Yeah, sir.
I don't know why God put me on, but I'm going to tell you, a man can't take fire in his bosom and not be burned by it. Better be careful where you go and who you see. A man cannot take fire in his bosom and not be burned.
Yeah,
get a hold of you, friend. God, that's one good mark of fellowship.
Amen.
Is walking in the light,
yes,
as He is in the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light,
amen,
That tells me also that we're walking with Him.
Woo!
Hallelujah to God. Thank God. What a person to be walking down the corridor of this life with. The King of Glory, the Lord of Hosts. Hallelujah to God. The great Shepherd of my soul. The Bishop of my soul. The Savior of my life. Thank God, walking arm in arm and hand in hand down the corridor of this life, walking safely in the light of the love of the Lord Jesus all the way. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Wonderful God. Amen. Amen. I won't say thirdly, walking in the light limits the powers of darkness. You realize that light always expels darkness? Always.
Amen.
Always. You realize that darkness cannot overcome light?
Amen.
As long as, what power company is this up the road? Big Rivers? As long as they keep pumping the Kenergy, and Kenergy pumps to this building, I don't care how dark it gets out there, it's going to be light in here. Because darkness cannot overcome light. It cannot do it. But light can, ladies and gentlemen, expel darkness. Hallelujah. I learned that a long time ago. You can come in this building at night, walk in back there, and it'll be dark. The piston hit that one light, and you know what darkness does? It's gone. That day. That's right. And if there's an egg sucker laying under the pew in here, you can spot him. Amen. Say amen right there. If there's a ghost in here, a hobgoblin, one of them witches or something, one of them booger men, hiding around somewhere, you know, I'm walking in the building, screeks and scrawks, and you want, what was that? Well, you're the only one in here, and you're kind of looking around like this. And I said, I wouldn't be like that. Yes, you would. You go into church at night and it's pitch dark, I'll guarantee you, friend. You'll be walking around, looking around under the pews and things. They make some of the screechiness noises. Worst thing we've ever done since our pastor here is put them stupid prophet chambers back there. I'm telling you, I hate them. Man, you lay down in them at night and you stay there and look at that door and you think, now somebody sucker's getting ready to come through that door. And that hallway's as dark as pit. You walk out and you look around and you say, hey, the light's with me. Thank God, there's a light in the hallway. That makes me feel a little bit better. Got some light. If Chink comes walking up through there now, see him. Got the light on. Light limits the powers of darkness. And I'm telling you, as you walk in the light, as Christ is in the light, it limits the power of Satan and the influence of Satan in your life. Thank God. Yes. Amen, amen, Brother Hall. That's amen. Good. Hallelujah to God. Amen. He is the prince of darkness.
Amen.
But if we're in light, praise God, his darkness has no power over us. What was it Brother Paul said about his commission? He said, I've come. And I forget how he puts it, but one of them was to deliver from the power of darkness.
Yeah.
Deliver sinners from the power of darkness. Thank God, I'm glad I've been brought out of the darkness into the light.
Amen.
Amen. I can see things better.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. That's right. Anybody here ever have an eye test? They turn out all the lights, don't they? You know why you can see that chart? They got one little light. One little light. Now I'm telling you, that one little light lets you see everything you need to see on that chart. Come on now, help me out. I'm trying to help you. I want to say number two, and this is where it's going to get kind of sticky. Hallmarks of fellowship, number one, walking in the light. Number two, confession of our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to do that. I want you to get a hold of this. Verses 7, 8, 9, and 10 in this chapter. Four verses. All deal with sin. All four of them. Read them. They all four deal with sin. That tells me the greatest hindrance and the greatest obstacle that we face in walking in the light is sin. S-I-N, sin.
I'll say it again as Brother Brown said it. It's sin, 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 sin. That's exactly what keeps us from walking in the light. Read all four of them, buddy. Come on now. All four of them. Can I say that? Verses 7 through 10 all deal with sin in a believer's life. Now I'm convinced that sin is the greatest obstacle and hindrance to our fellowship with Christ. It's sin. And I'm going to say a few things about confession of sin. Now, I hope it don't get too rank for your sake and mine too. Psalm 32 and verse 3 through 5. The Bible said, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture was turned into the drought of summer. Selah. David said, think about that. Thy hand was heavy upon me. Friend, I'm telling you, it is a difficult life as a child of God to live with known sin in your life. Because God is no respecter of persons. And if you're saved by the grace of God, He is going to put His hand on you.
That's right.
Now I'm telling you, you're either going to get right or go to heaven if you belong to Him, one of the two. David said, all the time that I concealed my sin, all the time that I kept it hid up in my heart, all the time that I tried to conceal it from God, God's hand was heavy on me.
Yeah.
David said, and my moisture was turned to the drought of summer. Where's our moisture tonight?
Amen.
Come on and look at me. Praise God, ain't praying time. Where is the moisture? Where is the sweet Spirit of God in our lives in here tonight? Praise God, we can't sing, we can't fellowship, we can't testify, we can't pray, we can't do anything spiritual, and yet we won't tell everybody how spiritual we are. I'm telling you, if you're saved and there's sin in your life, and apparently there is sin somewhere in the camp, I'm telling you, you are of all men most miserable. That's right. I'm going to read the rest of that verse. David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. David again said, think on that. David said, When I tried to conceal that sin, God's hand was heavy upon me and I was miserable. But when I acknowledged that sin, He forgave me. Praise God, and the burdens were rolled away. I'm going to tell you what we need tonight is about 99% of us to get on these altars up here and get thoroughly right with God about the sin that's in our life. Because we're not going anywhere until we do. You're not personally going anywhere, and Island Ford Baptist Church is not going anywhere until somebody in here gets right with Almighty God and cough up some sin that's in our life. That's why people are miserable all the time. Sin. Praise God, when you got a clean slate, you're happy. You're joyful in your heart. Your countenance will show it too, friend. Come on in the house now. Now listen. David was like a man tossing upon a bed. You ever been that way? You ever been on your bed at night and couldn't sleep? Your sleep was gone from you. You turn this way and you turn that way. You twist up this way and you wrap up in the pillow and you pull the sheets up over your head. You sleep at the foot of the bed like little Jimmy Dickens. You twist and waller and you can't go to sleep. That's exactly what David said he was like. Like a man in the bed that God had robbed his sleep. And by the way, the Bible said He giveth His beloved sleep. Come on now. Like a man tossing on the bed.
Can't find a place to rest. That's how Christians are that have sin in their life and won't get it right with God.
Amen.
And some of you leave here tonight more miserable than ever. You know why? Because while I'm preaching, God is reminding you of your sin. And let you get up here and get it right between you and God. I didn't say you had to tell me anything. I'm not the priest.
Amen.
He's our high priest.
Yeah.
But unless you get it right with God, I'm telling you, friend, you'll leave here tonight miserable. I'll assure you that. I'm going to pray that you do. I'm going to pray God will make some of you so miserable you'll have to get right.
Yeah.
Amen, Brother Hall.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's nothing more distressing, listen carefully, than for one who has walked with God and then to have a spiritual relapse. And if he is overcome again by his chief and besetting sin, then he is most wretched. Let me run that by you in common terms. Ain't nobody in here tonight been just saved for a while. And all of a sudden that old sin that you used to love when you was lost come creeping up the back of your neck. Come aggravating you just a little bit. Reminding you of what you used to do. Oh, and the pleasure you had in doing it. And the harder you try to rub it off and brush it off, the stronger it comes your way. Come on in the house. I'm telling you, it'll work that way. There is a pet sin, a besetting sin in all of us. And friend, we're subject to face her again down the road in life. And it's either get it right or go back out into the hog pen like the prodigal son. You've got two routes, the throne of grace or the hog pen. That's your trip. That's it. You've got two trips, friend. You can either hit the throne of grace and spit it up, or hit the hog pen, one of the two, but you'll go to one of the two places, and it won't be long. Some of you's in the hog pen right now.
Amen.
Sin, pet sins, drunkenness, gambling, womanizing, pornography. I could name a few more.
Preach.
It'll come creeping up. Now I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God. Boy, God just showed up. You'll have to get right somewhere.
Amen.
If God brings her up, there's no... Hey, you'll either be miserable the rest of your life or you'll get it right one way or the other.
Amen.
God's hand will be heavy upon you.
Yes.
And the thing of it is, if we confess our sins... He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins.
Really?
To cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Amen. Thank God.
You know what I read today? I was reading in Ezekiel. And I read Ezekiel 16. And I got to the next chapter. It might have been in chapter 16, one of the two. And you know what he said there? He said, remember thy youth. You know what he's saying? He said, you better remember when I found you back there.
Amen.
Read about him. How he found Israel. That umbilical cord had never been cut and had never been supple.
Right.
Had never been clothed in clothes. They were laying out in the field polluted in their own blood. And they come by and said, live twice to them, and they come alive.
Yes.
And he decked them in jewels and fine clothing. He arrayed them in fine clothes of best that God had, God provided for them. You know what they done? They looked at all the nations around them and went a whoring after the other nations.
Amen.
They that God had exalted turned right around and ran back into their old sin that God had just brought them out of. And I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, people today, amen, just like some of them preachers we've heard of down in Carolina, they have run back to the same old sin God brought them out of.
Amen. That's right.
Country music.
Amen.
Willie and Waylon and the boys.
That's right. Yes, sir, preacher.
Oh, I'm a honky tonk man. Man, I can't seem to stop. I like to give the girl the world to the music of the old jukebox. God help us. Every one of us sitting here knows how it is, but when my money's all gone, I'm on the telephone hollering, hey, mama, can your daddy come home? You know exactly what I'm talking about. And that junk comes creeping up into your back of your mind and reminding you,
yes, sir,
of how you used to like to hit the dance floor. How you used to like to run with other men and choose and pick and choose, or run with other women and pick and choose who you wanted. Creeping up. That pet sin, friend. Are you listening to me? It's there. And I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost told me. It's either overcoming time for Allen Ford Baptist Church, or it's death in the pot, one or the other.
Yes, sir.
It's either get right or it's death in the pot, friend. And I'm telling you, you've got a lot of stake. Oh, I know what some of you are saying. He's just up there rattling off to the gums. That's your besetting sin.
Three.
Bombarding every preacher in the country, running your mouth, putting your mouth and tongue on every man of God you know. My old hall's mean. He don't love nobody. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be trying to get you where I'm trying to get you right now, friend.
Amen.
You mean a lot to me.
Yes.
You know the death in the pot when they went out and picked them wild herbs and told there's death in the pot? Now I'm telling you, it's either confess it and get it right, or it's death in the pot for this church, one of the two.
Amen.
We don't have far to go.
Right.
My Lord, we've lost over every ounce of our joy. We've lost our shout. We've lost our worship. We've lost our praise. And some of you say, oh, we just don't have to do that. Hey, that's your sin and you've never read the Bible.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, friend, if you don't like old time worship and praise to God, you're wickeder than hell itself.
Amen.
The Bible said God inhabiteth the praises of Israel.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You can wrinkle up your nose at me if you want to. Don't make a flip to me. I'm sure that God's not a bit afraid of you, friend. I'm just telling you, that's where we are. And I'm telling you, that's where somebody's put the death lock on it. Is the joy and the praise and the worship is gone. And somebody's put the squeeze on it.
Yeah.
Remember a few years ago what I told you'd go first? Prayer.
Right.
Then praise. Then preaching. I never said a word to you about it, and he never said one word about it. But it might have been the last time that Rick Rose preached here. I'm not for sure. But he preached on a Sunday night and he was just preaching alone and he just quit. You know why he quit? It was so tight in here you couldn't cough. You know what it was in here Sunday night? It was so tight you couldn't hardly breathe.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you why. It's because that sin has got God grieved. I was a drunk before I got saved. How do you think I'd feel if you walked over to my house someday and said, preacher, you got a Coca-Cola? Yeah, they threw four there in the refrigerator. You opened up the refrigerator and there was a 6-pack of Coca-Cola and a 12-pack of beer sitting in there. I'm going to tell you what it'd do. It'd grieve you.
Right.
It would grieve you.
Yes, sir.
Well then, tell me, why are you grieved now?
Amen.
Same principle. We going on with God?
Free.
For me and my house, we going to serve Him.
Amen.
Well, now, Brother Hall, we just
Fella told me just the other day, said, boy, said, y'all's a lively church over there. I said, God help, if they think we're lively.
Yeah, he
must have been in some doozies.
Yeah, man.
Somebody said, what do you mean lively? I'm talking about responding to the preaching, responding to the singing, responding to the presence of God.
Yeah.
A tear, an amen, a hand up in the air.
Yeah.
A shout every now and then. You don't have to jump the pews and run the aisles. But a blessed heart. When was the last time God blessed you?
Yeah.
Come on. And I'm going to tell you what people do. Oh, it's the man of God. It's the preacher's fault. God's not blessing me no more. Oh, no, it's because you're out of fellowship with Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't stop you from being happy.
Right.
I can get up here and rail on you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and if you're right with God, then I can't keep you from being happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, listen carefully. He finds no relief. He finds no ease of conscience, no joy in the Lord, no delight in his word, and no liberty in prayer until he unburdens his heart unto him by free and frank confession. You know how you'll get frankly forgiven? By frankly confessing. Boy, it's quiet in here, isn't it? I'm glad, right, God, it is. You get frankly forgiven by frankly confessing.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Stay right with me now. Confession is not optional. How do you say this word? Obligatory? In other words, it is a necessity. It's not an option, folks. When there's sin in our life,
amen.
There's no options. There's only one way out, one route. It's a one-way road. Confession!
Yeah.
That's it!
Yeah.
If we confess, and by the way, somebody said, that's sinners. Well, if it is, if it's a sinner, then John must have been lost. Because they said, if we confess our sins,
amen.
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Better believe it, friend.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's not an option. It's a necessity. Confession is an expression of hatred and grief for sin. Hear what I said. Confession is an expression of hatred and grief for sin. And if we do not hate sin, and if that sin does not grieve us, that's it. That bars advancement with God. We're not going any further. Right there.
Amen.
Am I listening? I love you. I'm not trying to hurt you. Please believe me, I'm not. Let me run that by you again.
Great.
If there's not a grief, if you can sin and enjoy it, you didn't get in.
Amen. Amen.
If you can listen to rock music and country music,
and,
amen, smoke joints and shoot dope, amen, you didn't get in.
Amen.
I don't care what point of view says. If you go out and play sodomite, you didn't get in.
Amen.
And if that's an issue, God's made it an issue, buddy. It's an issue, and you ain't getting into it. You get it right.
Amen.
Right.
Y'all going to farm in out when I'm done.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I know sodomites didn't get saved. They can't. Some of them probably can't. If they'll forsake it.
That's right.
But if they've done went to the spray, if they're going to shack up with some other man or some other woman, Buddy, you forget it. God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them over, and they're reprobates. They're going to hell. I wouldn't even want to dabble with that sin. Now I want to show you something. Don't run me off when I tell you this. And I was reading in Ezekiel today, Brother George. I've been reading in Ezekiel. God told Ezekiel, He said, Ezekiel, here's what Israel's done. He said, they've sinned against me here and there, and they've done that. He said, their sins and forsaking God as God's people, forsaking God and going back to the idols they once had is worse than the sin of Sodom. I'm telling you, we're not playing with toys, folks.
That's right.
We're playing with souls.
Yes, sir.
And God said for His children to run back to that which they just got out of and turn their back on God is worse than Sodom was. I can show you chapter and verse.
Amen.
God, help us. Listen carefully. Confession cannot be general. It must be acknowledgement of individual and specific sins. This old junk, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Don't cut it. Specific.
Amen.
That's right. If you've committed adultery, it's, Lord, I've committed adultery.
Amen.
You went out and got drunk. Lord, I got drunk. May I say that some sins of omission are just as bad as some sins of commission. Lord, I've not read my Bible in 6 months.
Amen.
Lord, forgive me of my sin. No, Lord, forgive me for my negligence of that book. Lord, I've talked about the man of God. Lord, I've long-tongued a preacher. I've cut on him rough. Forgive me. You know what the Bible says? That if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Amen.
Just that simple. It's got to be specific, not generalized.
Amen.
It's just like praying. You don't get anything God saying, just saying, Lord, just bless me. Oh, God, bless the service tonight. Oh, God, bless the service. What do you want to bless it with? Lord, we need Your presence. Lord, we need Your power. Let Your man preach. God, let us sing. Lord, let us worship.
Amen.
God, speak to the hearts of the children that's lost.
Yes, sir.
God, speak to the hearts of those that are in sin. God, help my husband. God, help my wife.
Amen.
That's right. I'm about to close. So. Confession is to declare aggravation of sins that they were committed against light. Lord, I sinned against light. I knew I was doing wrong. They were sinned against persuasions. Lord, You've been persuading me, and still I've sinned. Sinned against warnings. Lord, You warned me. Sinned against conscience. And sinned against emotions of the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost told me I was wrong, Lord.
Amen.
I went right on down that road. God, forgive me. He's faithful and just. Forgive us our sin. And I'm going to show you something about that in just a second. I'm about done. Confession is made by faith. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now listen carefully. Faithful and just. Those words are not there by chance. He is faithful to His promises. Faithful. We confess our sins. He is faithful.
Amen.
To what?
His promises. And there's justice in Christ. What do you mean, Richard, justice in Christ? The fact that Christ is bestowing on His people what He purchased for them. Christ has purchased for us
Amen.
A holy life. And an eternal life, one without sin.
Amen.
He's just.
Amen.
He's not like as much a crooked devil sitting on benches in the courts across America these days.
Amen.
He is just.
Yes, sir.
He is not only just, He is the justifier, men. Only the just can justify.
Amen.
Now, confession of sin restores us. Not only relieves us, it restores us. Psalm 52:12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Right.
Confession of sin rejoices us. The load is gone. We have nothing to hide. Lord, what relief. I'll never forget tonight, and it didn't amount to nothing, looking back on it. I've told you this story. I smoked like a freight train. Told Brother Nolan I was called to preach. And I'll never forget one night, O.I.A. McGowan said, if you smoke, you're not the smoker. He said, the cigarette's the smoker. And that finger come out, and he said, and you're a sucker. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what. I'll never forget the next night, two later, I walked up on that platform in that church and said, I've got a confession to make. Brother Nolan stand behind me. He didn't know a thing about it. I said, I want you all to know that when Brother McGowan was preaching last night, I'm the sucker! Some of their mouths fell open about that wide and their tongue fell out. I said, I've been smoking cigarettes. But I said, today I quit. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Nolan come pick me up and go to a meeting, and I'd try to sneak in the back room, catch a little puff and throw the thing away and try to chew chewing gum and carry aerosol can of Glade. Didn't want to smell nothing, you know. Trying to hide it, but when I got that thing out in the open, oh, did I ever feel better. Glory to God, did I ever feel. Oh, I felt relieved. Praise God. The load was gone. It was out in the open. Everybody knew it. And guess what? As long as He had forgiven me, I didn't give a flip whether everybody else knew it or not. I don't care what you know about me. God has forgiven me of my sin. Hallelujah to God. Woo! I want to go to glory as white as snow. Hallelujah to God. Consecrated, dedicated unto Him. Praise His wonderful name. Now, the second hallmark is love to the brotherhood. And the third one is living in Christian joy. I don't have time to deal with them. What about it tonight? Anything there you need to get on the altar and tell Jesus about? Maybe you've stabbed somebody in the back. Maybe you need to get right about that. A lot of things. Come on, Miss Hall. Come on, Brother Jordan. A lot of things that people need to confess that. Let's stand together.